everybody. I'm Katie.
I'm Becky, and this is Live, Laugh, Lorcana. You have an anecdote?
You're an anecdote girl.
I'm an anecdote girl today, because I don't have one.
You once said you were the queen of anecdotes, and you have all the anecdotes. You'll have one every week, and it'll be a lot better than my phone case is sparkly.
How quickly I have failed to deliver.
Okay. I have what could be an anecdote. We play a lot of Lorcana together. Very competitive. We had another competition this past weekend. We had a plank contest.
Oh yeah, Katie and I did a plank contest. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Katie exercises. Katie runs. Katie does weights. I do not. I have weak everything, especially pelvic floor, since I've had two children. That's a joke. That's funny. People will think that's funny, Katie. Keep that in.
I think it's true.
No, I have the best pelvic floor.
Okay.
My urine has never been more retained. Not that there's anything wrong with if your pelvic
floor. Has there ever been? I do exercise. I exercise a lot. I've been to so many group exercise classes with mothers. So I know how many of them pee their pants a little. So it just happens. It's okay.
It is okay. Anyway, we did a plank contest and Katie let me win.
So here's what happened is you're like, oh yeah, I did a 30 second plank. Did you know I could do a 30 second plank? And I'm sitting there going, okay, well, Monday's plank day and I do 3 60 second planks. So that's why I'm like, oh, Becky, do you want to have a plank contest? Thinking this should be an easy win for me. But then like we're in planks and we get to like 90 seconds and I'm like, how is Becky still in this plank? And then I'm like, oh, Becky has two children and four tattoos. Her pain tolerance is way higher than me. Like, I don't know how long we're going to be here and I'm in pain. So I'm going to give up.
Yeah, you gave up. You didn't lose. What?
It wasn't like I literally couldn't do it anymore, but I certainly didn't want to keep doing it.
I have two things to follow up with on that. One, I had epidurals for both of my kids. And two, hope dad's not listening because he doesn't like tattoos. And three, I found another follow-up. Every tattoo I've gotten, the tattoo artist criticizes me because my muscles start contracting without my control.
Really? That's interesting.
Yes. And that happened on my ribs and on my thigh. They were like, can you stop moving? I'm like, I'm not doing anything. But like when you do ouchies on the ouchie part, it the muscles like, you know, twitches.
Well, I don't know. There's something to the pain tolerance thing because you stayed in that plank longer than I did.
I was pretty winded after, but I didn't hurt. So I'm going to keep planking and soon I will be the best plank to ever plank.
I believe
world records like days. Of planking, but
is it really? That's gross.
No, it's like hours though. Hold on, let me look it up.
Days. So inaccurate.
Just days planking, plank world record. Oh, it was 9 hours, 38 minutes, 47 seconds. Oh, an old guy did it.
That's absurd.
Oh, he's texting. That's nice. He's working hard. But he has his phone. Yeah, if I was reading, I could probably do not 9 hours, but like longer, you know, distracting.
So into the Inklands is here.
We are in the Inklands, yes.
We kind of talked about it with SD. I don't know how much we want to talk about it here.
I feel like we don't need to.
Wait, that made me think of my favorite anecdote from Into the Inklands weekend.
Okay, go ahead.
Our friend Jen opened an enchanted Robin Hood and she sent me a picture of it via text and said, all ready for dinner with Becky. Ah! That was the funniest thing ever. If you know, you know.
Yeah, that was really funny. You sent the screenshot to me and it did make me laugh.
Can you do a little boy dinner, just a hint for our listeners?
Boy dinner, boy dinner.
Beautiful.
Boy dinner. My bravest and most controversial take to date.
True. Are we just going to jump right into the interview, I guess?
No, I have things to talk about.
Oh, okay. What are your things to talk about?
Okay, so I was having a conversation with my friend Caitlin, friend of us. Hold on, I want to get the text up. So we were talking about how you get good at the game. And we were talking about, like, who do we talk to? Like, if we want tips or whatever. And I was talking about how I tend to get input from you, of course, but also your husband, Josh, and also friend of the show, Jake from 40 Born. And she's like, this game just came out. Like, how do these guys know so much about this game? And I thought that was a really interesting point because, Katie, when we're talking about, like, why aren't women in the top eight? Why aren't they doing all this? Here's why, Katie, because it's not a skill gap. It is an experience gap. It's not because they're not competitive. It's because they haven't had the opportunity to be as successful in the game yet. You want to hear more?
Yes, I do want to hear more. I'm on board with everything so far.
Because, I mean, I will speak to Josh. I mean, been playing TCG for a long time. Like
15 years.
Josh barely plays Lorcana, but he knows how TCG works. And so we see these guys who have decades of experience playing TCG coming to this game, and these skills are transferable. And, you know, so many women, non-binary people, people of color, like, haven't felt as comfortable in these spaces before. So they're already at, like, a huge disadvantage. Decades of experience.
110%. That is so accurate. It's like, when I started playing video games with my husband, I would get, like, frustrated because, like, we'd be playing and he'd be like, oh, we need to go here. And I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I don't know how you know that. And he's like, I don't know. I've been playing video games for 20 years. I just know. And it's kind of the same thing with TCGs. Like, so many things become ingrained in you. Like, even just a year of TCG experience feels so much different than having none.
For sure. Because that's the thing, like, you've really only been playing TCGs for, like, 2 years. And I've really only been playing TCGs for 6 months. And it kind of feels like an insurmountable hurdle that I will never catch up.
I think that that gap will become smaller and smaller over time. But it's intimidating. It is hard to catch up.
Yeah, because I was even thinking, like, so many different, what we call different deck types, you know, like midrange, tempo, aggro, blah, blah. And we talk about mill decks and stuff. Like, those are all terms that are not original to Lorcana. You know, it's stuff that is just, like, switched over. And there's so many mechanics that exist in Lorcana that exist in other games. So you kind of, like, if there's a deck that, you know, you build in Magic that uses whatever dynamics, like, could that be transferred here kind of thing? And, like, I didn't really think about that until now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good observation. But I think it's one of those things where people who don't have TCG experience, like, in a year, you're going to feel so different. And I think those gaps actually narrow a lot faster. And, like, you've been playing for 6 months, but let's be honest, how much do you actually play, Becky?
Play a lot. Especially of late.
Of late, yeah. You've been really in, like, on it lately, like, playing a ton, which has been an absolute delight for me, and you're killing it, and I'm so proud of you.
Except I'm not, but I do know things. Like, we talk with Esty later, and I say intelligent stuff, so.
You always say intelligent stuff. It's like The gameplay is what takes the longest and frankly what you do the least. You spend a lot more time like talking about like more high level TCG stuff. So I think you really dive into those conversations where it's like someone's like, what's a sideboard? And you like tell them exactly what a sideboard is because we've talked about it.
I also, before I like reply to anybody, I'll like message it to you and be like, does this sound stupid? Because I have publicly humiliated myself before.
Is it when you slightly misuse the word meta?
Yes.
That's funny.
And they're like, who gave this woman a podcast?
You're an icon. But no, that's a good point, though. And, you know, the more you play, the more you'll catch up. And you don't have to play 15 years of TCGs to be as good as someone with 15 years of experience. You don't.
It could help, though.
It would help. It would help.
But anyway, I thought that was interesting. I wanted to talk about it.
That was really interesting.
And I have to call and respond with Esty. Here will be our interview with Esty.
No song? No sound effect?
No sound effect. Boing, going, going, going.
Nailed it. It's going in.
Today, we are joined with Esty from Just In Case Games to talk to us and tell us some stuff about her thoughts on set 3. Esty, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, I actually always love watching your channel. I always love watching it, but especially after a set release, because I'm always like, oh, what kind of like new stuff is she playing with? So I thought this was the perfect time to have you on.
Yeah, there are so many exciting stuff to play with. I haven't gotten to filming everything because it's just this set. I feel like it blew everything out of the water. So many new synergies became viable. Oh, just can't wait to try all of the things like I note down. Yeah. What are you guys most excited to try? Can I ask questions?
Of course.
It's a two-way conversation. It's good.
Okay, so we spoiled the two Titan cards. So the thing I'm most excited to try is actually the Titans, especially, you know, we got like so many cool cards with Titan synergy. Like I really want to build that.
So you would go full in with the Titans, try to include everyone?
Yes.
How do you feel about not having Cyclops as a separate card?
That's a good question. It's a shame because it could use, like, because obviously I can't get to 60 with just Titans, so it would be great to have Cyclops. I wonder what he'll do. But, you know, it'll be fun to get started with what we have.
That opens up, like, a really fun opportunity for more of the different beasts in Hercules. The first one you see with Megara, it's like an evil centaur. I can't remember what it was called, but like there's gonna be some really cool stuff with all of those.
Yeah, we have Hydra as well. That's I think also is a very cool legendary.
Very, very cool.
Could that fit in? I don't know the colors. It's red and steel.
It's red, yeah.
That's red. Yeah, and then some of the Titans are in amethyst. So I think I have to do amethyst steel for Titans.
And no Hydra. Sad.
No Hydra. But like, I don't know if you've seen Esty, like the Turn for Two podcast has been like hyping a stories format, which is like you choose basically two movies and include only cards from those with no color restriction. So like Hercules has got some good stuff.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. A lot of movies get their own synergetic decks now, like obviously Sword in the Stone. That's just like, the person who gets that maybe wins, but Snow White and the Dwarves also. Happy to see Hercules maybe entering that. I like the Steel Hercules, so he's a good addition as well.
For sure.
Do you have something you're most excited for, Becky?
I am also loving the synergies now with the locations when we have, you know, the Jolly Roger. I love that a pirate deck is super viable now. I love that. Of course, the brooms. I've been chomping at the bit for brooms because that in set one, that Sorcerer Mickey was just like such a great looking card. But like didn't have a whole lot that could potentially be used with him. So I'm liking that he's getting some stuff back. I think that'll be fun to play with.
Yeah, I like the idea of having at least a broom, a set. Imagine how cool our deck would be and like set then.
Yeah, and like, because when it first came out with brooms, it was like, okay, it's a broom. But like what they're doing with them, just like the art and like making them all different, it's really cool. I'm really, really, really excited to see what's going to happen with that. So Esty, usually our first question we do is asking you about your background. So what is your background in Disney? What is your background in TCGs? And how did you get into Lorcana?
That's a heavy question. Okay, so as most people playing, I think, Lorcana, I also loved Disney as a kid. And then as a young adult, I love the company as well. Read the book about Ride of the Lifetime. I just love Disney and the whole culture around it. Oh, there were so many questions in there. I don't know about the origins.
Oh, no, just any of your experience in TCGs?
So not many. I have a brother who's 10 years older than me. He's been trying to get me into TCGs most of my childhood. It just never quite clicked. For me, it's a deal breaker. If the theme or the art doesn't match with me, I will just maybe wait until something comes along that I feel connected to. And when the D23 was announced, Lorcana is coming, he sent me the picture, and he was like, this is the time. We're getting into TCGs, and yep, I've been hooked ever since. And he's been my mentor since the card has been released.
That's awesome. I'm totally with you with like the art really needs to speak to me, because Katie played Flesh and Blood, and like I've seen Magic cards, and Magic cards have some very cool stuff, but with the Flesh and Blood, I'm like, it looks so sterile. Like, I don't know these people. How am I supposed to care about them?
Yeah, and also the fact that Magic and Pokemon has been there for so long, I feel like there is such a history. And it's just very scary to get started with something that has such a big backlog of cards. And like, I loved Yu-Gi-Oh! I watched Yu-Gi-Oh! Never started playing it because I watched the World Championship final, and that just passed me, and that was scary. So I like that Lorcana starts soft. I can get started, I can follow the cards, I can get to know, how it builds up.
Yeah, it's like if you jump into Magic now, it's like you're starting at season 10 of a TV show, and you're supposed to like catch up with everything that's happened. And it's really true. So it is fun, because Lorcana is my first TCG. And so I feel like I'm there doing my best. I can follow where we're at.
Yeah, slowly, like, yeah, all those new words, people from Magic use like aggro, meta, I don't know, all these things, sideboards. Slowly catching up. It's a fun ride.
Yeah. So we actually had a question from Martin Karp in the Discord. He wanted to know if you considered yourself more casual or competitive.
Yeah, definitely casual for now, but I have competitive in my mind. I am very competitive in general, but I know it's like people who've been playing TCGs have a great advantage in Lorcana, even though it's new. So I'm patient. I want to get there. I know it's probably not this World Championship,
but maybe. I don't know. I listen to your videos and hear like your thought process behind your decks and your gameplay. I think like I really think you're very good at competitive myself.
Oh, thanks. That's one of the reasons I like my gameplay videos, because there are so many good tips and the comments and people write me. I feel like I'm learning a lot by doing them.
I'm actually very surprised that you don't have more experience, because again, like watching your channel, your brain is like so hardwired for TCG naturally, apparently, because you definitely have it. And I'm excited to see where things go with you, because you're awesome.
Oh, that's so kind. Thanks.
No, I was also shocked when you said you hadn't played other TCGs, like listening to you play this one.
And speaking of, can you tell us about how your YouTube channel came about?
Yeah, so it was over the summer where there wasn't so many contents out there as luckily right now. And I couldn't get through the week without any new content. Like every day I just watched everything new, and then there were days where there was nothing new, and I just loved, you know, watching a gameplay while you have breakfast. And then I called my brother, like, you know, why don't we try? I was super into Lorcana back then. I was drawing the cards myself to create proxies to play with. And my brother was super into the idea of he playing with me through Tabletop Simulator, or I think Pixelborn was starting back then. And yeah, next day we started.
Is your brother still like actively involved in the channel?
Yeah, he's very actively criticizing all my gameplay videos, so that's very helpful. He, of course, also gives ideas on what decks to play and, yeah, what contents to make.
Oh, nice. So you talk to him about your deck building and stuff like that?
Yeah, because he's a TCG veteran. Also, I'm from Hungary, and there is a huge community there already. Okay, huge compared to Hungary. So it's a few hundred people, and they are also very supportive. So there are people who are much more, seasoned than I am, and they help me a lot as well. So for the decks, people give suggestions.
Well, that's so nice. I love that.
Yeah, I absolutely love watching your channel. Like I said, like you play with so many fun decks, and I just really like watching it. Can you talk us through your deck building process a little bit?
Yeah, this is something I was just learning this past month. So I think rule number zero, you just have to like the deck you play. Like you have to at least like some characters in it, have to feel some connection to the colors. I don't know why, really, never really loved Beauty and the Beast, but I love the Relentless card. So I'm just playing Emerald now, and Steel such a good match with Robin Hood. So I'm playing Emerald Steel always. So I think you should start with, you know, finding your synergy or a card you like and then building around it for start, I think.
I feel like that's kind of not, I mean, it's not my process, but like usually I do like we'll find a card. I'm like, wow, I love this. It has like a cool ability that I'd really like to explore and see what it could do with the right pieces. And I think that's just really, really cool. I'm definitely like not very good at it yet, but hopefully I'll get better.
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of iterations. Like I like the reveal season where they are slowly showing the cards, and then that can get a lot of inspiration because, you know, it's a single card. You have to think about like, what would I do with this? And that's where most of my deck videos comes from, because I have a list of combinations I want to try out. My latest one, I really want to have a villain deck where we have, the Emerald Queen that you exert and then you can discard a card. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be very fun with Chernabog because it's also Amber, which with the villain synergy. So right now I'm just going full crazy. I searched villains, put everyone in from those two colors. And then, you know, I don't suggest people make a deck and then go to the ladder, because that's a really cool cruel bird right now. It's all strongest decks. Probably your first iteration will fail there. So go to the lab where other people trying out other fun decks and then try to iterate there. So that's what I usually do. And then you can feel like, you know, you get the card in your hand and you're like not happy for it, then you probably don't need that card in your deck, and then you can just change it.
That villain's deck sounds right up your alley, Becky.
I know, I'm taking notes. I'm trying to make, like, I love Hades, King of Olympus, and I'm just like trying to get that card to work. And so I'm hoping I can figure it out at some point. But the new Queen of Hearts definitely will help with that. It's just like, he's so great. The art's so great. It's just like, he's beautiful, Floodborn. It's like, but he like has nothing to work with. It's like, gotta fix this. But yeah, with Chernabog and that new Queen of Hearts, I think something good could happen there.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's not competitive. Like, I don't know how you categorize these decks, because obviously they are not meta, but it's fun.
Yes. Yes.
That's what matters.
Yes. Also, there's like, even if it's silly, there's such a great satisfaction in pulling something off that like nobody expected, you know? And I think you understand that more than anybody.
Yeah, I know. I played so many games to pull out that stupid combination with the Pride Land and Simba.
Yeah, I love that. I was so happy for you. And seeing it in action was beautiful. I love that. Yeah,
my partner was extremely happy. I spent a whole Sunday trying to do it. It's like, oh no, it's gone. Oh no, they throw out my Jafar. Simba.
Yeah, you guys, to anyone listening, you have to check out this video on Just In Case Games YouTube channel. I'll link to it with all of your stuff. But it's like, do you want to talk about the combo? Because it is a 7-card combo that you try to assemble.
Yeah, it's a people usually mention the, you know, why don't we have an Exodia? But this is 7. Exodia is 5. So you have 2 pride lands, and if you have a king or prince at pride lands, your characters cost 1 less. So if you have 2 pride lands and 1 Simba in each, or Cusco or another prince or king, then you can play 2 cost characters for free. And that's, for example, Snake. And if you have Merlin already on the field, and Merlin's ability says that whenever you bounce a character, Merlin quests for an extra lore. So if you have something else, for example, Isma, who's also a 2-cost, you can play her for free after you have the Pride Land Simbas and Merlin set up. Play Isma for free, play Snake, bounce Isma, and then you have to have another Snake to bounce the previous Snake, and then you can just bounce the Snakes out of, right off each other. And then that gives infinite lore to Merlin. And you win. That's it. Simple.
So easy. Why isn't everyone doing it?
Broken.
But I was on the edge of my seat, like, watching this video, like, waiting for you to pull this combo off. It was so fun.
And I almost did. But all fairness, yeah, my partner did not kill my stuff so that I can pull it off.
That's what partners are for.
Still kills. It's okay.
No, it was great. I loved it.
So we've talked a little about Into the Inklands, so I thought I'd just ask, you know, it's very relevant. How was your release weekend? Were you able to get product? Did you get to go to any events?
Yeah, we were able to get product. I think in the UK, product is quite available. And usually we tend to just stay at home, get our products, get home. I call my brother, who's in Hungary, where the product is not officially out yet. So we just Skype and, you know, open the products together. We like to play this game where, you know, for the rarities, one of us just looks at the flavor text and try to guess what the card is. So we usually play that. And it's so funny. We have a video where my partner is trying to, like, we say it's the flavor text and we're trying to guess it. And under it, it's already visible that it's an enchanted under it. But me and my brother are like, I don't know what's that. And he's just laughing. It's like, there's an enchanted here, guys. And we're like, oh my God. But what was the flavor text? So I just really love, yeah, spending this time with my brother. But this time we did end up venturing out to a smaller town nearby where they had a release weekend event, which was very cool.
Was it sealed or was it the starter decks?
It was a sealed with 6 booster packs. So I like these little sealed events because you get to appreciate some of the cards you wouldn't normally play. So I happened to have those. And I did open a Jafar, which is not very great at sealed, so I was quite bummed about that. But Jafar is good otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then we came home, and my other brother from London got me some packs for me. And then he opened them, and he is not at all knowledgeable about Lorcana. So I was trying to explain to him how to read the flavor text, and then he couldn't find it because turned out it was the enchanted Robin Hood. So, but he was very cute. He was like, I just don't see it. And then he was like, what's this? And we're like, oh my God, that's so cool.
That's so awesome.
That's going to go framed in my background.
Yeah. What a great weekend for you. Good stuff.
What did you guys do?
We just went to a starter deck tournament. It was my son's birthday, so we couldn't do more than that. And I was able to get 2 booster boxes and a trove, which was exciting for me. And theoretically, I'm hoping to get a gift set eventually, but I could not find one.
Did you guys get any enchanted out of two boxes? I see three boxes in the background.
Yeah, Katie, what's back there?
The three boxes I opened. I can't stop myself from buying product because I told myself I was only going to get three boxes and then I bought a fourth one. So I'm saving it to play sealed with our friends because no one around here runs sealed. Like Becky has never gotten to play sealed yet.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited. I appreciate you resisting the urge to tear open a box for the event.
That has been a struggle. Oh, but to answer your question, no enchanteds in this house.
Oh, any there?
Not one yet?
Well, I destroyed it. I mentioned this last episode, but like I have gotten an enchanted in every box I've opened and I said it out loud. So it's over for me. No more enchanteds.
No more luck for set three. Sorry.
Yeah, it's over. My luck has run out.
Well, set four is, you know, 3 months away. So
yeah, plenty. Right around the corner. Yeah. So Etsy, what are some of the cards you think from Into the Inklands that you think will be impactful?
Well, there are some annoying cards. So definitely, you know, the Cloud Kicker, I would say. It's like, ugh. but I play Emerald, so I also like it. But
yeah.
I understand. That's just quite annoying. Also Madame Medusa. So I don't play Ruby. So that's just straight on cruel. Taking out my Robin Hood. And my tragic hero, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be? Yeah. I think Prince Eric is also very strong. So it can attack. And then it can take out something when it's banished. I know. And also the Ursulas, I think.
Oh, yes.
I'd say Kit, Cloud Kicker, and Madame Medusa are my top two least favorite cards to play against. If I had to say, which means they're the best.
Yeah, when you said there were annoying cards, like Kit was the first one in my mind. That's ruined some days for sure.
So, like when Ursula started coming, like people started playing Ursula, they sang that Mulan song where they draw two cards and discard one, or
strike, you know, a good match.
Yeah, that one, or Friends from the Other Side. And I was fine with that. That did not bother me. But yes, since yesterday, I've been playing against people who play the Mother Knows Best card twice.
Oh, no.
That's just the next level cruel.
Yeah, that's not a nice one.
And you know what? I built that deck and I took it to league because I'm a mean person.
How did it go for you?
3-0.
There you go.
Yeah.
New friends?
No.
Not so much, but you know.
Oh yeah, maybe Morph. That's also seems like a meta defining the card more.
I feel like once you see him, you like know what's coming. Which helps a little bit. You're not taken completely off guard.
Or at least you know like a range of things that can come.
Mm-hmm. It helps narrow it down a little bit, but yeah. Because we went to League last night and I saw one for the first time in the wild because usually I have not seen anybody play Morph, but they did. And I was just like, oh, what's going to be next? Yeah, so it wasn't so bad. But yeah.
And what came next?
Oh, Pluto. Big Pluto.
Could be worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like, all right.
Yeah, that's a good one. And that's a card that's only going to get better over time as we get more shifts, yeah. Characters.
For sure, for sure.
So I don't know how interested you are in the meta, but do you have a feel for some of the decks you think might be strong during Into the Inklands meta?
Well, I think since we already have a few 1Ks, we can see them shaping up. I think there is a lot of decks that now compete with Ruby Amethyst. And it's like, you know, the Ursula deck with the Amethyst, Emerald Amethyst, even the aggro. But I think the aggros usually fall out in the end. They start in the early sets. I don't like the Amber Amethyst. And everything with Steel. Like, right now, it's just any pairing with steel seems very strong, which is great because steel is expensive. So
I would say, I mean, I'm scared of amethyst generally, but yeah, amethyst and steel are like the two colors I see. And I'm like, ooh, I'm not going to have fun.
And then there's the combo of amethyst steel,
which I don't see played much.
Well, just this weekend, you mean the Jafar and Wheel, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen that in real life yet.
Yeah, so just this weekend, there was this Pixelborn tournament, the TS tournament, and I think Zephyr was playing that, and he got top 8. So I think it's viable, you know, because of the steel, right? Yeah. Like he had Robin Hood and the Tragic Hero. So even if you don't get that pairing out, you're fine. We'll see. I think it's not as, you know, bonkers as people thought. Like Jafar is broken.
Oh yeah. Maybe not worth the full hype. It got so much hype.
It got way too much hype. And it was not nice. Not nice of Jafar, because he was released with like 5 other legendaries and it just completely took the spotlight from the other legendaries that are, you know.
That's true.
Hida is also cool, and the other guys, Hydra.
Yeah.
Not meta-defining cool, but like worth playing.
I do think the Jafar A Whole New World probably was like overhyped as a broken combo, but it has OTK'd me. Like I was playing against an opponent that only had 3 lore, and they had like a big tank, I think, and a Jafar on board, and they like A Whole New World sung with Jafar to get 7 lore. Then they drew into another one, and then they did it with Tinkerbell, and then they drew into a third one that they just then hard cast. So 21 lore in one turn.
Unlikely, statistically unlikely to happen again to anybody.
Exactly. I wanted to say, wish you had that on video. That would have been great.
But that is a combo that you also have a video on. So,
I mean, it was so hyped. I wanted to try, but I went on crazy with the Jafars, which is not the way for meta competitive deck to go.
It's a good wash, though, because it's, like, obviously way less cards than the other combo that you explored. But still, even setting that up is hard. There's so much removal. Like, when people see Jafar's, like, the baby Jafar, they're going to try and remove it.
Yeah, maybe I should have done the video sooner, because by then people figured out that they have to take down the small Jafars. And I think one of my matchups, they were just not letting me get the Jafar on the field. People, I'm making videos. Be less aggressive.
And what are some decks that might not be strong, but that you're excited to build and play around with?
I think it's just Relentless. The Relentless build that works now, like people, I think Zach Bivens won a 1K this weekend with the Relentless one, so I was very excited for that. But it doesn't have the bow of Robin Hood in there, and I just love that. So I think I will just play with Robin Hoods and the bow. It's just such a cool theme. So I will change that deck to not be meta, but be fun. What are you guys' go-to deck?
So I played... Okay, so I'm a mean person. We've established this. I played a lot of Emerald Steel in the last set, and mostly discard. I like that deck. But yeah, now that we have so much else in Emerald Steel, since set one, those have been my main colors. I just have really liked Emerald more than I thought I would. So yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I want to explore some of those different combos.
I have been trying to make like a really good princess deck for a really long time, basically since the game started, and it ebbs and flows. I'm going to be honest. I tend to go for the Amber Sapphire, combination. And we got some things that in this most recent set that might be helpful to me, but she's going to be a work in progress for a while, I think, till we really get something spicy.
Did we get any new good cards for that?
Nope. Like I said, we're working on it. We'll see. But I got some like non-princess stuff that I'm enjoying playing with. But yeah, we'll see.
How about bodyguards? They are kind of like matching with princesses, and they got a bunch of new stuff. They are strong.
Yeah, true.
I would like to play that, yeah. Oh, so many good decks to play.
For sure. And now we will answer some listener questions. So, a Jedi Geek Girl asks, how are you feeling 3 sets in compared to where you were in set one? In regards to what, Katie? What do you think she means?
Well, I think we can all take this in any direction that we want.
Okay.
I'll just talk about the game in general. I feel great. So, like, we have easily accessible product now. We have OP has been announced. Like, so many awesome cards we have gotten with this set. Like, I just feel like the game has grown so much in like the whatever 6 months since we started this podcast. I can't believe it. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm going to make my answer all about me. I feel like I've learned a lot, and I think I am a much better player than I was a few months ago. So I feel very good.
Yeah, so I think I agree, both of you. And I will go into a different direction. I think the story has evolved and I like the side branches that we are starting to see on the cards, as well as, on the trailers where we are following different Illuminators. So I'm happy with that as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a great answer. And you know what? Me and Becky are kind of bad at focusing on lore. And you did mention it's something you really like about Lorcana. Are there any things that have been added to the lore recently that you've been really excited about?
I really start like in the first few sets, we mainly saw the lore in the trailer, like the whole story of the flood. But I really enjoy now these card snippets where, we have like whole contained short stories starting to evolve inside the cards, like the one with the Minnie Mouse and the Sorcerer's Hat, or the Lost Mermaid, like what's going on there, as well as what's up with the rules of villainy? Like, there are so many intriguing questions that I just can't wait for the next set cards to slowly drip in and me trying to figure out if that fits to any of the puzzles that we've already seen. So
That's
I'm
really
very
cool.
happy with where the story is going so far.
That's awesome. Yeah, Katie, we've totally been slacking on the lore. I don't really keep track of it. I have a problem with reading things that aren't complete. And just like I'll wait till it's done, or like I'll wait till we know more. But that's awesome that you keep up with it. That's so cool. We should do that. Katie, what are you doing?
It's like you said, though, we just get little pieces and you have to like put them together as a puzzle. It's a lot of work.
It
Yeah, it feels like being a Taylor Swift fan. Perfect
is
analogy.
work. Thank you. Martin Carp asks, if you were to adopt a park ride into Lorcana, what would it be and what would it do? SD, are you a Disney Parks fan?
I am. There is one in Europe. So I've been to that one. That was crazy. So I don't know if the rides are similar, but I was thinking we should have something, but maybe because I loved the lore. So my idea was that we could have like something similar to the Toy Story ride where you have to, do you know the Toy Story ride? Is that similar?
What does it do? We have a couple of Toy Story rides.
Fancy people.
Yeah.
There's only one in Paris. So you have these two people sit in the same car, and then they have some pistols and they
Oh, the
have to shoot
shooty
on
one. Yeah,
stuff.
we have
We
that.
only have that, but yeah, so you could have something similar where you have these things. What are the names? Do you guys know? What we saw on the trailers, those fancy looking futuristic Star Wars rides.
Oh, there's a name
And
for it. I forget.
yeah. I don't know what they're called, but we could sit on those and then we could ride along the Illuminary and the Inklands, finding those lost lores, like lost Disney items, and the person who finds them more wins out of the two or something like that. But that's just
Oh,
because I love the lore. What
that'd be really cool.
are your guys' ideas?
Oh, see, I went to designing it into a card. See, this also open to interpretation. All right, because I designed a card around a ride, which is the people mover. SDG, you guys have a people mover in Disneyland Paris.
I don't think we do.
It's just a little like train you ride on, but it's very slow. It's barely a ride, let's be honest. And it's like on magnets, so like it's like frictionless and it just toots around. And you just see stuff. Anyway, Katie, where were you going?
I saw a picture. Is that the Epcot?
It's in Magic Kingdom, but
called Tomorrowland. Which Tomorrowland. Is, yes.
Very similar.
Which feels very Epcot-y. Toots around. Becky, it's the mass transit solution of tomorrow. How dare you? But it's actually going to be an item with an ability that says transit of the future, and you exert it to move up to 2 characters of yours to a location for free.
Oh, wow. That's basic. I love it.
Wow. Rude.
Pretty strong.
I also kind of interpret it as a card.
Maybe it's just my dream. I just want to have the Illuminati in Disneyland.
Makes yeah.
Sense. Oh my gosh, could you see them doing like its own little world? That would be incredible.
They have to at some point, like, right?
Absolutely. Even if it's just a thing you can walk through, I'd be pleased. Like anything, literally anything. I don't care.
Yeah, are there no Pokemon parks? I thought there are, or something.
I think there is. Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
So we need them too.
We can do it. Honestly, give them 10 years. It'll be there.
But first, I really want Lorcana characters as plushies.
Yeah! I would love that. I'm like a huge fashion doll fan. I would love like little postable figures. I think that would be really cute. The more we're talking about it, I feel like, because, you know, like, there's, like, a Star Wars land, and you can, like, build your own lightsaber, but, like, you can make your own ink caster and, like, pick the colors and stuff, like.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but that must be happening at some point. Like, I just can't see a future where this game exists in 5 years and we don't have these things. Like,
yeah,
just, it's the future. We're getting there.
The future, yeah. My answer.
Okay.
No, I was gonna ask if you answered.
Okay.
It's really stupid, but this is the first thing I thought of. Please don't make fun of me. So I thought that this would be a good idea. So it's a location card, and it's the Haunted Mansion, and mentors can go there for free and they get an extra lore. Because they're ghosts.
Sorry, what can go there for free?
Mentors.
Is that a car type?
It is.
Oh, wow.
You didn't even know. You didn't even pay attention.
Who is a mentor?
Rafiki is one. Oh, Merlin is also one.
That tracks. Just have to think about the movie. Who else is a mentor?
Grandma Tala is a mentor. Mm. Mufasa is a mentor. Okay. So is Chief Tui. So a lot of mentors.
That's a nice sketch.
Yeah.
Like they don't do anything yet, but yeah, nice.
Yeah. I tried retrofitting it into, it was like something mentor and Haunted Mansions as far as I got. But I'm sure somebody would have a better answer for that. So if you do, please let me know. Not you guys specifically, but anybody. Now, next question from Jedi Geek Girl. She asks, before we get the announcement of set 4, what new franchise are you predicting that we will get in that set?
This is a tough question because I always think about, like, at what length scale do I want all the big movies to be represented? And I just don't, like, is it 5 years? I don't know. I would love to see Pocahontas, but maybe not just yet. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, I just want to look forward to things. And I just love Pocahontas so much that maybe I just want to, you know, keep waiting for it. Maybe I'm weird.
I feel like I get that. Like, you, like, want it to be, like, a big, like, thing you can be hyped for. And then maybe we'll have a set where it's, like, a huge part of it.
It seems cool. So sad when we were done with all the big movies. And then we would just be like,
now what? Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, maybe not Pocahontas, but the Chip and Dale. I don't know what the English
Rescue Rangers?
Oh, Rescue Rangers. I would love that.
I think that's very likely now that we've seen Tailspin. I feel like we could definitely see Rescue Rangers soon. Should be very cute. Katie?
Thank you, because I'm going to take your answer. I'm going to say Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, I don't feel like it's coming anytime soon, but I want it.
Wouldn't you want this, like, a theme? Like, Hunchback of Notre Dame seems obvious to me, like it would come out in October, like a darker, more theme.
That would be cool.
It doesn't fit summer for me. Yeah. Maybe I overthink these things.
I think that's fair. But if it does happen, I think, because we saw like Huey, Dewey, and Louie having their own little gig. I could see that with the gargoyles having like some sort of synergy between them or something like that. I think that would be fun. That would be cool.
Also, story-wise, you know, there was a card that was referring to a big storm coming. So that could bring some darker themes into the game. So maybe I could see Hunchback of Notre Dame with that. And we have, Chernobog, so gargoyles. I don't know, maybe. Who knows? That seems, why not? Actually, yeah.
That would be cool. So I have two answers. One is what I want. And two is what I actually think will happen. I mean, obviously, I'm going to hedge my bets. And I think we're definitely going to see more Lion King because of the flavor text off of the Rafiki with the hyenas. We're going to see more hyenas for sure. And I definitely feel like a Floodborne Simba is coming because it's nuts that there hasn't been one yet because there's so many Simbas. Where is his Floodborne? But I would love, 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 love to see Encanto or the Aristocats.
Those are also very good ones.
Based on that flavor thing you mentioned, maybe it's, you know, Ariel's turn, like summer, chill vibes, water, lost mermaids. I could see that as well.
Oh, that's a really good point. That would be cool. Cool for the summer. Demi Lovato.
Yeah, I was also like, too cool for the summer.
Get it. Anything else we would like to discuss while Essie is here?
I don't have anything.
Like, I have to add something. Like, you guys are so great. You should go back to a weekly podcast because I need more. We just don't have enough podcasts for every workday.
Oh, you're sweet. Essie, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so wonderful talking to you. We're huge fans of you. We love you. And we cannot believe that you're here. And it was so great meeting you. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
I can't believe I'm here. Thank you so much for having me. I had the best time. You guys are super fun. Your Discord is also a great place to just chat around with people. You can find me at Just In Case on YouTube. And I'm the one with the Miko in the box. I really love that. Credit to my drawer, Lila Havash. She's fantastic. And you can find me on Instagram as well and Twitter, Just In Case with the Miko.
And thank you so much. Again, love your content. Everyone should follow you. Thank you.
Thanks.
That was our interview with Estee. No sound effect. Boing, going, going, going. Estee is a delight. She's the nicest, best, most wonderful person. I love her.
Facts. I also love her.
What a delight.
Every interaction I've ever had with her has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. We finish each other's sandwiches. Anyway, do you want to do listener questions?
Let's do them.
Jedi Geek Girl from Irabel Gaming says, would you like to see a deck like Lightsworn and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Lorcana, where the goal of the deck is to mill yourself for beneficiary reasons, to advantage the game towards your win condition, and of course, in-game combos? Martin Karp says, for me personally, it just depends on the lore and the characters, if it makes sense or not, which makes sense to me. My answer is I'm indifferent. Would be cool, I guess, ?
You know what it means to mill yourself.
Yeah, you run out of cards. You're just taking out cards to get a benefit.
From what I understand, there are self-milling strategies in Magic the Gathering as well. So I think we'll probably see it in Lorcana eventually. And I say, yeah, that's cool. Let's let's give everybody options. We've seen so many cool like things introduced. Like, yeah, why not?
Why not? Next question is a fun one. Lucy Loves Lurkana says, if you had to design a card based on yourself, what would it be? So like your ink color, your stats, would you be vanilla, flavor text? Would you have any cool abilities? And she says her example, it should be a 2-cost inkable amethyst card. 2-cost because she's thrifty, inkable because that's helpful and she likes to be helpful. And purple is her favorite color. I'd have 2 attack, 4 defense because I'm not very strong, but will stand up for what I believe in. I'd have ward so I can try and keep everyone safe and happy. And I have the ability overthinker. Look at the next 4 cards of your deck, put 2 at the bottom, 1 at the top, and 1 in your hand because I spend my life thinking about what happens next. What a fun question, Katie.
It is a fun question. Creative question, so always hard for me.
Do it. Tell us what you have.
Yeah, so mine, some similar themes here, but mine's Katie, Chronic Warrior. My flavor text is going to be, well, I tried.
Keep going.
I'm going to have good strength, like 8. 8 is my strength, but 1 is my willpower because I'm not very resilient. I give up very easy, like with the plank challenge. Mm-hmm. And my ability is going to be I can prepare for that because I over prepare for everything. And that gives all of my characters resist +1 because it's making everything a little more resilient because of my over preparation.
Beautiful. I loved it. I didn't think of flavor text. I need to think of flavor text. Give me a second. What's something I say?
Something you say a lot. I edit the podcast.
I love that.
You do say I love you. Oh, that's a good one. I love that. That's cool. You also say, I can't even do it. Let's see if I can do it. Baby. You say <Yeah. laughs>
Do it again.
Did I do it well?
No, do it again.
You'll just say like something and then you'll be like, baby, Exodia, baby.
Exodia, baby. I'm obsessed. Okay. So I am going to be a 5-cost amber, uninkable. I know my worth. I'm a princess and a mentor. I do 5 attack, 1 defense, 2 lore. And my ability is agoraphobia. I gain +4 if I'm the only character on your side of the board, and I lose 3 strength at locations.
I love that so much. Oh my gosh. Are you agoraphobic?
I do not like to leave my house.
Interesting.
It's not a full phobia, but like I'm an introvert. Originally it was going to be something introverted, but I was like, nah, we'll do agoraphobia.
That's great. That's beautiful. You should translate all mental health disorders to Lurkana abilities.
And then my flavor text is, I love that, baby. Okay. FPS Madness says, I know set 3 has only just come out, but I know you will have a couple of weeks to think about this one. Is there anything you feel is missing for Lurkana that you would like to see brought in set 4?
I'm going to say that I would love a pre-release kit. Maybe not for set 4, but someday. This is something other games have. It's like a little kit you get pre-release weekend that has like 6 packs so that you can do sealed with it. And it will maybe have some special promos in there. Maybe it like some little trinkets like damage counters or a lore counter or something. That would just be, a lot of other games have that and it would be cool if Lurkana had it.
I want that. That sounds great. For this one, I expressed that I don't really know things. Like, I am in a Lurkana bubble, and if it exists in any other TCG, I don't know about it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Nothing you feel is lacking.
I would like some promos to get into by person. I would like to have them to hold them in my hands and put them in my binder.
Larger quantity of promos for set four. That's a good answer.
Good answer. And then FBS Madness also asks, is there anything you don't like about Lorcana?
Okay. The only thing about Lorcana that frustrates me is we've now seen three organized play kits. And they're all like, oh, Lorcana League is all about casual play and building community. Also, you play matches and they're best of three. Best of three, Becky. Why are they best of three? Like, that's really not good for new players. Like, it's so intimidating for a new player to, like, learn their first game that takes so long and be like, oh, we have to do best of three in 50 minutes. Like, it's so overwhelming. It's not particularly good for kids. It's not good for people who are there to socialize and hang out. It's not good for really good players who happen to have attention disorders like you.
Like, oh my God.
There is just no reason for best of three to be in these guidelines for a casual league. This is the hill I will die on.
I think that's really fair. I mean, often, because we play best of one in 30 minutes at our league, and oftentimes, like, we don't have time for game two. So what can you do?
Yeah, some people will play that slow. And what you're going to tell them, yet they have to do best of three to get their league sticker for a match. Like, I'm really glad that most of our local league organizers recognize that best of three is wrong for Lorcana League and aren't doing it. Like, I'm very glad, but I feel bad for places I've heard that are insisting on the best of three because it's in those guidelines.
That makes sense. They're more like guidelines than actual rules.
That was the feedback Ravensburger gave me when I emailed their OP team to complete.
I love it. Perfect. Great job. Here's something I don't like about Lorcana. Kind of expensive for those little packies. Kind of expensive.
Really good answer. It is.
Pretty expensive. They just give Pokemon cards away. They're like, yeah. Take them.
That's take true. Them. Like, literally, most local game stores around here, you can get three packs for $10.
Rav Garrett asks, how are those Master Set collections going? Are you continuing the tradition you set in set one?
Do you know what a Master Set is?
Yeah, I know what a Master Set is. Okay. Is all of the cards. Is that different? Okay, so I'm thinking a Master Set is one of everything, and a Play Set is four of everything. Yes?
Yeah, Master Set would be one of everything, including, like, a foil and a regular version if they both exist.
Oh, cute. Okay, well, I've never had a Master Set. I'm probably never going to have a Master Set of anything. You?
Me neither, because a Master Set would include one of each Enchanted, and that is not in my budget, even with my double income, no kids life. That is so much disposable income. Who the heck is doing a Master Set of Lorcana? For the first set, I collected all the foils, and that's really only because my husband started it, and then once it was started, I worked on finishing it, but I'll never do it again, because I just, like, I don't care about shiny things. Like, I'm not big on shiny things just in general. So, like, all I care about is getting four of each card so I have four playables, and I don't pay attention to whether they're shiny or not.
I love a foil card. I just, like, don't have time to, like, be trading and be ordering things online and keeping track of what I have and what I don't have. Like, I just don't have time for it. But I do love a foil.
And Enchanteds, I'm only going to keep the ones I'm not going to buy Enchanteds. They're so expensive. I'm only going to keep the ones I opened, and that tends to be between zero and two a set. So that's where we are.
Next question. Cameron, the Lorcana curator, says, I'm looking into starting my own podcast. I was wondering, do you have any advice for someone looking to start a podcast of their own? What software do you use to record and edit? How long does it normally take you to edit an episode? I will answer. You can clarify. So do we have advice? Just do it. Just go for it. You got this. Cameron's amazing. He has so many good things to say. Would love to listen to Cameron's pod. And I say that to very few people. We use Descript to edit our podcast, and we record on Zoom. Katie?
Yeah, and Descript is a really cool editor because it transcribes everything we say, and then you can edit the podcast as a Word document. It is a little expensive, but I think it's worth it. And then I'll add that everything I know about making a podcast, I learned from a podcast called How to Start a Podcast. So I will link to that. Did you not know that?
That's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah, that is literally how I learned all of it. It is a podcast by Buzzsprout, which is a podcast hosting platform. So in a way, it doubles as an ad for them. So like take everything with a grain of salt. But I literally follow all of their recommendations.
I love it. I like Buzzsprout. I have no complaints with Buzzsprout. Tempest George says, do you think every single Disney character who has a name will eventually have a card made after them, assuming Disney decides to continue Lorcana forever? Asking this because there's some side characters who are rarely mentioned in media, like Leroy, Stitch's counterpart in the movie. I'd love to see him get a card of his own. I would also love to see Leroy, TBH, but I feel like definitely not. It's like the IP that Disney has just in animated features is insurmountable. Like that is a well that will never run dry. That's why they pull out of pocket things like Sergeant Tibbs and Starkey, and I'm just like, them over like anything else? Wow, I love that. It wasn't sarcasm. It's just like, really? That they're like, yeah, we need to make this card and somebody's going to draw it real good. And we're like, all right, work.
It's great though. And then because when you watch those movies and they're like, oh, that character, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think, wait, did you say no or yes because of how deep the well is?
No. They can never catch up.
Hmm. That's valid. Yeah, I mean, and also there's so much they want to do. Like, you know, we need to get like 300 to 400 Mickey Mouses. Like, there's a lot to cover.
Yeah, and even like lots of repeats. Not in like a bad way, but like there's like 5 Ariel cards and like 36 Simba cards. Like, it just keeps going.
Yeah. So I think we'll see a lot of cool stuff. But yeah, I can't bet on all.
Justice for Leroy. Martin Carp asks, how do y'all feel about trading? Do you go value for value, card for card, or a different method? I just traded with an off-the-clock cast member at Disney Springs. They got Bulk, and I got Base Morph, Eric, and Grandma Tala. In terms of value, I definitely fleeced them, but value never came up, so I'm curious. So, Katie, you can do yours.
I like hearing yours first.
All right. I'm the worst trader. I'm the worst trade deal anyone has ever seen. Value, I don't know. Would this card make you really happy? There you go.
Oh my gosh, we were at League yesterday and we were talking to the people next to us and one guy was like, oh man, I'm really trying to get Robin Hoods, but I didn't open any. And Becky was like, oh, I wish I had opened a Robin Hood in my pack because I would have just given it
no,
to that
I
guy.
No, I did. No, you're telling the story wrong.
Okay.
He's like, I really want Robin Hoods, but like I'd have to trade like everything in my binder to get one. And I had just opened one in a pack. And I was like, Katie, should I give it to that guy? And you were like, no.
It's like a $39 card. I brought it up on TCG Player. I'm like, please, I will trade you things you need for this.
But that guy would have been so much happier than you with it, though. He wanted that real bad. And he has a beautiful family. And
same. I also want it really bad. And my dogs are adorable. Come on.
But you also have a beautiful family. I just thought, like, boy, I could make that guy's day. And it would only cost me $0. Because the value of that card only exists in my head. It only has value because we've assigned it value.
Sure, but they were in your packs from the starter deck tournament that you paid $80 for you and your husband to go to. So
I'm just saying, I would have given that card to that man and not felt bad about it.
Fair.
How do you feel about trading?
I actually don't like trading very much. I have like friends that I will trade with, and that's great. And we usually go value for value, which is a question. Like, otherwise, I don't know how you do it if you don't do value for value. Like, what are you going to do, legendary for legendary? Like, yeah. Please don't trade your Rapunzel for a Gantu. It's not a good deal for you. Just sell the Rapunzel and buy 10 Gantus. But I used to bring my trade binder to League and like be like, hey, do you guys want to trade? But what inevitably happens is somebody proposes a trade that is absolutely terrible for me. And I say yes, because that's who I am as a person.
People pleaser.
Yes, exactly. I'm like, okay, I guess that's fine. So I just like, no, trading doesn't work for me. Unless it's like people I know and trust.
Honestly, same. Like I can't say no to people. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy, because I'm a people pleaser, but I'm also strangely obstinate when people tell me what to do.
Yeah, you are.
I don't like to be told what to do. I'm going to do what I want.
You're a bundle of hypocrisies.
Oh, that reminds me. Oh, my, you know, you have a description on Twitter or whatever.
Yes.
My bio for the longest time was like, I'm a cynic, I'm a romantic, and a hodgepodge of hypocrisies.
That's accurate.
Yeah. Don't tell me what to do. Next. Tempest George says, have you guys always been using the word spicy, or is that a recent thing? Because I've been hearing it being used everywhere since I started listening to the podcast.
So we say spicy a lot? Is that...
I guess so. Origin of spicy as good.
I don't use it as good necessarily.
Yeah, it's a slang though.
There's like a great Urban Dictionary definition I read.
Oh, what was it?
An adjective meaning good, bad, interesting, and quite frankly, a word that can be used in any situation to replace any word within that sentence.
Hundo P. That's correct. Yeah. I mean, it's been forever. I feel like it dropped when salty dropped.
I can pinpoint when I started saying it.
When?
I started saying it in 2021 when I was really into CrossFit. I had a CrossFit coach that would describe some of our workouts as spicy if they were like really like weird, but like really hard is how she would often use that. She'd be like, oh, this is a spicy one. And that's when I started using it.
Do you think I got it from you? Because that doesn't sound correct. If anyone's a catchphrase machine on this show, it's me.
Oh, you must have started saying spicy before me.
No, I don't know. I feel like I've been saying it a very long time, but if I learned it, I have to think I picked it up from like a Twitch streamer or something.
That would make sense.
Spicy. Have you seen that SNL thing with Bill Hader as Stefan?
No.
I'll send you a link. Spicy. It's an important cultural moment. Anyway, I think that's it. Anything else, Kat?
No, I don't think so. Well, you know, featured creator, like usual.
So, Katie, who's our featured creator?
First, a huge thank you to our friend of the show, Martin Karp, for making me aware of this creator. I try to find as many women and gender non-conforming content creators as I can, but I'm only one person and it's a hard job. So if you are such a content creator or you know one, please always send them to me. I love it. It makes my life so much easier. And thank you. All right. Our featured creator is Questlore. Questlore is a channel and podcast dedicated to looking at Lorcana from a family perspective. It features Matt and Jen, as well as their two kids, Malcolm and Emmett, and each week they get together to talk Lorcana. They're very involved with their local Lorcana community, and it's really fun to hear about everyone's experiences at League. And as always, it's so fun and heartwarming to get to hear about a family enjoying Lorcana together.
So be sure to check out Questlore on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, side note, Malcolm and Emmett, what a great subset names. Beautiful. Love that.
True.
That's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening to us. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Check us out on YouTube for this, but on YouTube, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we also have a Discord, and it's nice, lovely community. Highly recommend. So checking that out. Links to everything in the show notes.
And until next time, remember to live, laugh, and lore.
Oh, wait, I remembered what I was going to say.
Go ahead.
I am recording after an interview, and I didn't let my ADHD ruin it for me. So
I'm so proud of you. I can't believe you made it this long.
Yeah, buddy. It's been 2 hours. I'm amazing. Somebody drop an award for me in the mail.